Today on the Cool Games, we are talking U.S. Men's National Team. Why is Johnny Cardozo doing? We try to figure out if Pochettino is the right guy going forward.
Ooh, we also talk a little bit about Gold Cup, Landon Donovan, Mark Pulisic. They got into a little bit. Is anyone out of line? Are they all out of line? We talk about that and Champions League perspectives, that and more today on the Cool Games.
So today was the first time that we dropped Mateo off at daycare.
What?
Oh my God.
You're free, son.
What an emotional morning doing that.
Yeah.
And it was.
Who cried more? You, your lady, and your baby?
Mateo didn't cry at all, but he did like not want to go in. He was which I didn't expect. I mean, I didn't know what to exactly expect.
The kid's like, what's going on here?
He's usually a little bit more, especially if he sees like other kids and, you know, like having fun doing stuff. He's like, all right, let me get in there. But walking in, he was like, no, I don't want to go. He was like really, really nervous. And then they let him hit the doorbell. There's a little doorbell on the thing. And he loves hitting doorbells and buttons or whatever. And he hit the button and it was like, all right, this is a safe place. They let me do the things I want to do. And then he walked in.
He's
and
like, I'm going to run this joint.
So, so he walked in and it was, like he just walked into the a room. And then, but then we didn't get to like say goodbye because he might have been given more reason to like not want to leave or whatever. Yeah, yeah. So we didn't say any like proper goodbye.
So y'all just Irish exited?
Kind of. He just walked into the room and we just weren't. But we got to look at like there was like a little window so you could see him in the classroom. Oh my, that's when I started crying. I'm like, he's like sitting in the little classroom with all the little kids and he's like already interacting and stuff like that. Cause you know, so he's
forgot
two.
About you.
So he just turned two, so this is his first time really interacting with like large groups of kids and stuff like that. But yeah, what an emotional experience.
How'd your lady handle it?
She was a little bit of tear. We both kind of held our own. It was obviously, our eyes got a little bit watery and stuff like that. But yeah, it was, it's like he's.
If this was a movie, it would cut right to you hugging him as you drop him off at college.
It was just yesterday. Yeah. I carried you from the hospital.
You look exactly the same. You just got a little gray hair and those round glasses they always put on the actor.
Just terrible prosthetics that had wrinkles or whatever. But yeah, it was, you know, obviously a lot of, parents listen to this show. Uh-huh. So they know what, you know, you have no idea what I'm talking about, but they do. They should do.
I got an idea. I've seen it happen in film before, television.
But yeah, emotional. And we'll see. We'll see how he does tomorrow. I'll give some updates if anybody's curious.
Yeah, yeah. Please, we need to hear about it. Congratulations to Mateo.
Yeah.
I'm being an adult now.
That's it.
Next is a job, dog.
Next is like, where's your portion of the rent? You're paying 82%, right? That's how it works.
You're 82% of our expenditures. So I don't know why I threw myself in this family.
So it's only fair, exactly. So welcome to the show, everybody. Yeah. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We are the Cooligans, as always, out here on Yahoo Sports.
Yahoo! Get in there.
Wow.
Get in
there. How kind of you.
There it is, huh? Play around. Swim around a little bit.
You know, the Yahoo loves it when we do that. It's just, it's the brand awareness.
Uh-huh.
They're like, hey, more of that, please.
I had a friend who would order a pitcher. Before we started dinner, he would order a pitcher of Jack and Coke.
Mm.
And then he'd say to everyone at the table, hey, get in there, swim around a little bit. And we're all like, we're all going to drown. None of us want to swim in this pool, dude.
But we have a lot to discuss today, especially with the U.S. men's national team. We'll talk a little bit. We'll round out our Champions League perspectives as well.
We got a couple teams we haven't spoken about yet. We'll do that today.
And a couple other things. But yeah.
But let's start with U.S. men's national team, because now under Pochettino, we have now witnessed our third loss in a row.
Mm.
So it begs the question, is Pochettino the right guy? Is it time to start worrying about Pochettino as the coach? And that's why this is our top topic.
Okay, let's get into it. So the U.S. men's national team played against Turkey was it Saturday or Friday? I don't know. I forgot.
At Hartford, locally.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm I understand why they have to play games at Hartford sometimes because, you know, but they want the support and to be predominantly for the U.S. men's national team. But there's also a little bit of like, why are these games in Hartford? Why does it happen?
I don't know. It was pretty well attended, though.
It was. I mean, it was rainy and stuff like that. But it's just like the experience there. I haven't been, but I've usually not heard really amazing things about
it's not the most modern of stadiums. So, of stadii.
But yeah, that's...
of all the things, by the way, Carter's laughing at stadia. Of all the things we say on this show, that one invisible laugh, like an actual LOL.
So, but yeah, that's a topic for a different episode. But they lose 2-1, and it's a third loss in a row. Now you start wondering, like, given all the drama with the players available and Club World Cup and everything going on. Now it's like, well, he's calling in the players he wants to call in. Some of the players are getting their first opportunity. Obviously, it's a less experienced squad with when it comes to international minutes.
He also made the point of a quote from somewhere. I'm assuming it came from a press conference. I don't know for sure, but a quote attributed to him a few weeks ago, maybe even a week ago, was, "We're finding great quality in all leagues, not just the ones in Europe, essentially, not just from the players that are playing in Europe." And I'm paraphrasing there because I don't remember exactly, but essentially saying, hey, don't worry about it. Even though there's a lot of MLS players here, I'm finding just as good a quality in some of these MLS players, which was a big boon for MLS as a league and a lot of the fans, which is why I saw the quote mentioned a couple of times. But you're setting the precedent that, like, all right, then we should see no drop in quality against competition. That's not exactly what we saw against Turkey.
There were
moments where I think the U.S. settled into the game in the second half. There was one great moment of brilliance in the beginning
first
of the match.
30 seconds of the match.
Where Jack McGlynn was like, watch what I can do. And then he hits the Jalen Brunson celebration, which is great. Because again, everyone remember, he is from Queens. People don't know that. Because he played for the Philadelphia Union.
Yeah.
But Middle Village, of all places, where Chris Copo's from.
Shout out to Jack McGlynn and Chris Copo.
Yeah, two
names.
People from Middle Village. That's it.
Two people you would never think to be heard in the same sentence.
I hope they're never in the same room. Because that'd be rough
Chris
for Jack
was
McGlynn.
A comedian in New York.
Just picture if a chicken cutlet came to life. just a fried Italian chicken cutlet.
With
that's
a
this
thick
guy.
Old booty.
Yeah. Kid's got a great joke about how he can never go to jail. But the long story short, outside of that, and outside of long stretches, especially in the first half, and frankly, even in the second half, even though after they settled, this was not of the quality of the players that we would have expected to see, but maybe that are playing in European teams.
Yeah.
But still, with the players that we have, it's good enough to be able to challenge against a team like Turkey.
Yeah, you would. I mean, most of the time, I never underestimate any European opponent. I'm assuming, you know, they grew up with the game.
They
were like fetuses and so on and so forth. So you expect them to do well. And they did look comfortable. And we try to give ourselves, especially having the game in Hartford, try to give ourselves every advantage that we have to make it at least as difficult as possible on the other team. And really the issue, you know, the decision by Johnny Cardoso to outside the boot, that clear that ball and try to make a pass with Artigulera is right in front of him. And it's just, it all boils down to decision making. When it comes to like the quality is there. We know whether they're European or MLS, it's like, it's there. And you see, when we use the word quality, we're also talking about the quality of their decision-making. Johnny Cardoso does not need to do that. He doesn't need to do the outside the boot thing, but what he definitely does not need to do is he receives the ball from Matt Freeze, takes a touch, the ball, and he sets in front. Then he
sees
takes,
the press starting.
He takes another touch, and that right there is like, you did not need that other touch. And you took the other touch because you saw that there was a defender, maybe blocking your way, like
an attacker from Turkey, you mean?
The defender being the Turkish attacker, he's in the way, so he's like, let me take one more touch because I know I'm gonna do the outside the boot before he took the first touch. He's like, I'm gonna do the outside the boot to get it to the fullback, probably
let me get into a space so I let can do the thing I want to do
exactly. And it's like, no, don't do the thing you want. You don't need to do that right there.
You don't have to hit that button on the controller right now.
And it's like, look, 99 times out of 100, that probably does not go in, right? It's just a deflection or whatever.
But the one time it does go in makes everyone look really silly.
Exactly. And yeah. It's just like, you don't, it's the Ewing. You don't, you take that shot, you practice that shot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You practice that pass, Johnny.
You've been doing that in training.
don't need to do that. And it's the, you know, that game could have easily been 1-1 and whatever. And Matt Freeze did well, stopped a couple really promising chances. But it's the lack of, you know, that one decision makes the entire performance look bad. Now we're asking these questions about Pochettino.
And that's the question, right? So, like, it's decision-making. It's that getting over the hump of where we were under, you know, Greg Berhalter. I think, you know, going back and looking at previous managers, whether it's Bruce Arena or Jurgen Klinsmann, right? When you go out and get someone like Jurgen Klinsmann, it's can you raise the level of the U.S. men's national team? Can you get them to train and everything more in a more European way, in a way that's a bit more becoming to a team that's going to compete for the highest levels internationally, right? Maybe he didn't do that fully, but he certainly moved the needle that way. Greg Berhalter comes in and says, all right, this is American excellence, right? We're going to get the best tactical coach in the American leagues, and we're going to give them an opportunity. And Greg Berhalter did some good things and left some question marks. So the next thing is, okay, can you get these young guys that Greg Berhalter helped develop into young men and playing at the sport at the highest levels in Europe and competing for big trophies? Can you get someone who can get them to do that as a unit now in the World Cup and is also a big name and draws more eyes? Because I think that's super important as well. And I know that people, I see it in the comments, they get frustrated whenever we talk about like the marketing of the sport. If you don't understand that that's a big part of what U.S. soccer has to do, then you just don't understand the sport here. Unfortunately, there's other sports that are take precedent over the U.S. So can you get a manager that can raise a level? And part of that is the decision-making. And I know that the manager's not out on the pitch with you. They're not telling you, hey, pass it, give it back. Hey, you go there. But there's a sense that these are the types of things that need to be covered. There's a conversation that feels like it needs to be had with maybe an MLS level player right now. And some players are clearly beyond MLS, even though they're playing in MLS. And I think Jack McGlynn shows you flashes of that, right? Sure. Certainly has during the season and certainly did in the beginning of this match. Maybe there's a conversation that the manager, where it feels like Greg Berhalter had these types of conversations where he would put his arm around a player and say, here's what I need you to do more of on the pitch to prove that you're that. And then you will get those moves. Part of me is wondering, is it his responsibility to be the guy to get these players to make those smarter decisions? Is it because it's a friendly after all, right? We don't need to win a friendly, but we want to see that the tactics are working, that the team is developing. Yeah.
The chemistry is there. You're building something. You don't have to win necessarily. Yeah.
A win isn't needed as much as we're talking about 3 losses in a row is not great.
Right.
But a win isn't like we're not all out to win. It's about building those the patchwork.
Right.
Right. On the way to the Gold Cup. we're not seeing those things.
Yeah, I mean, I felt that frustration obviously with the Cardoso error, but then even like with Jack McGlynn, there were a couple moments in the second half of like, you didn't really need to shoot there.
Yeah. Also, Tillman had a great game. Pass it, bro.
Right, right. It's just like there's moments of like other players are open. Why do we need like the hero? You got it in the first minute. Yeah. Like now,
let's. You got your highlight, dog. You goody.
Share the wealth. Get some assists. Yeah. See what the assists feel like. So they
Ajimang, speaking of assist, I don't think he did. There's a lot of promise in a player like this. I think we talked about Freeman as well. There's a lot of promise in a young player like a Patrick Ajimang where I'm like, oh man, this kid's got these moments of lightning, you know?
Sure.
But as a full project, there are some missing gaps. And I think you saw that in his inability to be effective in trying to play with his back to goal or really any time seemingly the ball was passed to his feet. It seems like it kind of got lost.
Yeah, I'm just looking up how many touches did Ajimang have in the game. He had 30 touches and only 4 in the opposition box. And I think this stat shows also 0 successful dribbles and 1 pass into the final third, 5 dispossessions.
Mm-hmm. He was dispossessed all game.
It's something where regardless who is the striker for the U.S., especially the last 3 matches, there's just there's a disconnect. Like, we're not getting enough touches. Just like in the, like, whoever the striker is, doesn't matter what, yeah. They're not like setting an imprint in the game. And I would say this even in the matches that, you know, where Balogun was playing and Pepe was playing and like starters and like where we were fairly successful the last months in the past, even still, like, you, the last Balogun game that you can remember, he's not like all over the game and really in there and really getting a lot of, it's just like moments where the midfield can build up well enough to get him the ball or get whoever the striker is and even just take some shots that aren't blocked, that even just like get a shot and
pass directly to the keeper.
It's just, it's something the last like 2 years that it really, it's just a weakness in the team and in our game. And I don't think it's any particular attacker's fault. I think it's a combination of
the group of attackers just haven't had great service.
The service, maybe the tactics, maybe it's the particular opponents that we're playing, but yeah, it's kind of just disappointing to see. So that's why we should move on. Like, are there any positives we should take from the match?
I would say first and foremost, let's start with, I think Jack McGlynn for some of those missed passes and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I think certainly, maybe show that he has those kind of, there's something there. There's clearly something there. Sure. And I'm very comfortable to say that he will be a part of the World Cup squad. There's something about him I like. I think Arfstein showed that he can get forward. He could bomb forward. He could be, he not only can be essential in the attacking third, in the final third, but he can also get back and track back, which was great. Did I mention Tyler Adams yet?
You didn't. Okay. I'll just, Tillman, you're obviously going to mention.
Oh, yeah, Tillman. Yeah. Thank you. Tillman was the other one. Tillman has leveled up. He's reached a new level. Sure. And it's not just skill. It's his comfortability on the ball. And it's also the confidence with which he passes the ball to somebody else. There used to be times where I'm like, oh, maybe that wasn't the right pass. It seems like when he passes the ball, it's like, no, you weren't in the right spot. Right. And that's basically based on the way he's playing the game at such a high level. And I think the move to PSV has been so great for him because he became so influential on that team. He got to become such a standard part of that squad. You could see what that does to a player. And maybe it's timing as well based on his age, but he is at the point where I'm like, he will 100% be starting in the World Cup. I do not know in what position or where. I do not know who sits for him, mm-hmm. but I got a feeling this guy starts in the World Cup because I love the way he's playing right now.
Sure. I mean, my only positive from this is like, especially obviously, you know, NYCFC goalkeeper, Matt Fries, getting his first cap for the national team. I thought he did well. I thought, you know, I don't think the goals were his fault.
Nope. He made some big saves.
Yeah. When he was needed, he was there. I still think based on like experience, and then we'll see what the Gold Cup looks like. I'd be very shocked if he is the starter, even though Matt Turner has not had a lot of minutes playing for Crystal Palace. He still helped them win that FA Cup. He played in a few of those matches. I would still think Matt Turner is a starter, but I did like to see another option that looked pretty confident in goal. I think the the style of play is obviously different from NYCFC. So Matt Fries, even the issue with Cardoso, like the playing out of the back, not necessarily where I want to see Matt. I would argue Matt Turner or Matt Fries. I don't really want to see them.
Matt Turner is not great, but I think Matt Fries, what he had, something like 88% pass completion. Mm-hmm. So I mean, not terrible. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Yeah, so that's it's like not the most positive.
No one's asking him to like Ederson pick out a running midfielder. You know what I mean?
Right.
So for what the possession he needs to have, I think he's fine with
it. Sure. So next up, they play against Switzerland.
Yeah.
So this is the last game before the Gold Cup begins for them. So we had a discussion on who should start. What should be this lineup for not just. Maybe not just for Switzerland, maybe even looking forward into the Gold Cup. But you want to go first?
Yeah, to me, mine is a bit more speculative. This isn't like the final Gold Cup squad.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the playing time, I'm sure Turner's going to get a run out. But I'm kind of comfortable with Matt Fries and what he's been able to do to say, let's get a second start there to really see what he does. You know what Matt Turner's going to bring you. We don't know exactly what Matt Fries is going to do. Excuse me. So for me, I'm comfortable with him in goal so far. Let's see him get a second shout. Arfstein, love what he was able to bring. I think he could show a little more. And I think with when Mark McKenzie, I want to see him play alongside Mark McKenzie and Chris Richards and Alex Freeman. So I'm going to go with that back line.
Okay.
Because I think Arston, I want to see what he does when there's, I don't know, Miles confused me a little bit.
Robinson, yeah.
Yeah, Miles Robinson confused me a little bit in the back line. So I want to see Chris Richards and Mark McKenzie. I've always been a big Mark McKenzie guy. For defensive midfielders, Tyler Adams, when he came in, to me, changed the way the U.S. played. He's very clearly the best player on this entire squad. So for me, start him next to Luca De La Torre. I want to see these two as your defensive midfielders. And when you have both of those as your defensive midfielders, I think we're going to see a lot less of an attack from coming from Switzerland. Attacking midfielders, Jack McGlynn gets another run out. Malik Tillman, of course. Diego Luna showed me enough to say, all right, get a second shot. As far as center forward, part of me wants to give Patrick Adjumang another chance, but I'm like, you know what? Proven training that as of right now, for me, Haji Wright is probably the guy you run out. He has a little bit more experience, sure, and can play a little bit better with his back to goal. Not the best that we have to offer, but I think probably based on the squad they have, probably the right guy to get a shout up front.
Okay. I'll give you my thoughts on that. Let's bring up my 11, Matt mm-hmm. Turner. I'll go Matt Turner just because I think I'll get the point you used about experience. I still think that's a bit more valuable for this tournament and in this game against Switzerland. Max Arfton, Chris Richards. I would go again. Experience. Walker Zimmerman, who's still been obviously MLS two-time MLS Defender of the Year. I think he's just incredibly reliable and reads the game well. And I think compared to Miles Robinson, who I think is more athletically, I think he's better in that way. But I think Walker just reads the game just a little bit better. Yeah. Alex Freeman, I don't love that he is. This is his first minutes playing for the national team, and he didn't look super super comfortable against Turkey, but I don't think there's anybody else that really steps up into that role right now with mm-hmm. the players available. In the defensive midfield, instead of Luca De La Torre, I would go Tyler Adams and Johnny Cardoso. I still think Luca De La Torre is a player who, to me, just doesn't impact the game going forward enough, but he's like a reliable midfielder. I'm not knocking him in any way, but I just think for what this team could look like in this tournament, I would go with those two guys. Okay. Malik Tillman, Diego Luna, and I would go Brendan Aaronson instead of Jack McGinn. I like the versatility of Brendan Aaronson. He's not gonna bang in shots like right. like Jack McGlynn does, but I think he offers a little bit more in passing, in running. After he makes the pass, making that run, he's just a little bit more athletic than Jack McGlynn.
He's an engine.
Yeah. So, I would like to see him really do well back up with top. The national team. Brian White.
Really?
Up top. And this is just a hot hand kind of thing. Like, just go with who's playing well, who looks confident. Patrick Adjumang has not, the last like 6 weeks, has just not mm-hmm. really looked that great for Charlotte. Charlotte has... I believe they're winless in the card to please confirm, but I believe they're winless in their last like seven or something like yep. that. So it hasn't been.
I think he scored a counter or two. I mean, he has scored, but yeah, you're right.
Sure, I don't know. I don't remember the result this weekend. So, but yeah, they have not been great mm-hmm. This season. So this is where you go with who's playing well, and Brian White looks comfortable and looks confident playing up top. So that's my.
I don't hate that.
Yeah, that's my 11. Okay. Going forward, let us know what you think. Who should be playing in this? Is a weird. It's just like a strange cast of play. Like it's
you can't kind of spin a wheel. You know what I mean? Wherever it falls,
you got an American passport.
Yeah. We're gonna play spin the bottle. Nobody make out though. Okay. You get in the 11.
You're gonna be the starting striker if the bottle lands on you, bro.
You know what? I honestly between
guess if you want,
Luke, yeah. I mean, hey, look, we're not gonna stop you. Okay. I'm just saying that's not the goal of this. That's not the agenda.
You're
here.
Not forced to. Yeah. The kissing is optional.
I don't want you to think that the bottle's being spun for you to kiss.
Okay,
you kiss whoever you want, but you better be the striker.
Nobody's gonna be mad if you do kiss. All right.
What I'm saying is between Haji Wright and Brian White. pick. I'm fine with either or. I just think Haji Wright has a little bit more experience at a higher level. So
yeah, I mean, even he's at Coventry.
Yeah, he was a toenail away from being in the FA Cup final, though.
Sure. I mean, last season they lost in the playoff. They lost in the playoff again this time around. There, and you know, I thought last season he was much better.
Yeah.
For his club, and this time around, I'd be fine. Again,
I'm cool with either.
I'm kind of either.
He did score in the World Cup off the back of his head. He didn't know it, but he still scored.
What have you done for me lately?
So I guess the last question is, even as a friendly, do you think the USA needs to win this?
Need is not the right.
Is it a must-win game, which is tough for a friendly?
I'll simply say this. Pochettino needs to win this game. Pochettino. For his narrative and for the pressure and for the heat to just die down a little bit.
Do you think that's a result, like scoreline win, or is it the things we talked about before? Because for me, I don't care if we lose 3-2, but the U.S. played well. We connected well. The chemistry was there. The lineup played well together. The system seems to be intact. Maybe it was like a wonder goal that wins the game for Switzerland. Fine. But everything else feels right. I walk away from that going, that's as good as a win for me.
It's odd that you say that, but then you also say they need to win the Gold Cup. Winning it is the bare minimum. So
that's different than a friendly.
I understand that.
This is a knockout competition. I don't care how you want. You can win as ugly as hell. I don't care if you bus.
I think they need to win. Because the competition that they're going to be playing, they're playing against European competition, means a little bit more than beating Suriname
but it's friendly.
With all due respect, even though it's a friendly, it's still a higher quality competition than what you're playing in Gold Cup for the most part.
Well, what I'm simply saying is that the result of a friendly isn't always the best result of a friendly isn't always the scoreline.
I agree.
Those other intangibles.
If Pochettino had not already lost 3 in a row, I would be all right, whatever.
I could see your point.
He needs
there.
To win. He needs to win this game. That 1-0,
right?
Own goal, whatever. Right. You could tell the federation, hey, we're moving forward. Look at this. Right. We won 1-0, clean sheet, whatever. They need to get
what
to
I'm
the-
saying is like just when you tell wifey, like, yo, I know the meal I cooked was trash, but I cooked.
I was
you know what I mean? The thought is what counted. And also our DoorDash will be here in 20 minutes.
Okay. Obviously backups are always important.
Yeah,
All right, we're gonna talk some more USMNT after this because we gotta get to Landon Donovan's comments.
Ooh.
That were a little spicy. All right, we'll get back to that right after this. Let's chat about Landon Donovan's comments yesterday. If you watched Portugal against Spain, Portugal won their second Nations League title. There was a moment Cristiano Ronaldo is on screen and he's in tears celebrating his trophy or whatever.
Right. So no reason to mention the U.S. at all because this is Portugal versus Spain.
And Landon Donovan, as Ronaldo's on screen, he goes, this is what it means to represent your country. Mm. I can't help but think about our guys on vacation not wanting to play in Gold Cup. It's pissing me off. And even as I'm watching this, I'm like, damn, saying pissing me off on national television is also all right. Like he didn't have to use those words, but he really he did go for it.
Clearly he was upset.
Yes. So we should ask, are Landon Donovan's comments out of line? Because some people, some players even Weston McKennie not happy with those statements.
All right. So the bigger question becomes, is it a hindrance? And there's been comments from former players the last few days about the A crop of U.S. men's national team players not being a part of both these friendlies and the Gold Cup coming up. Are his comments out of line? Are Landon Donovan's comments out of line? No. The way he's handling it makes him look like a back-in-my-day curmudgeon. Also, the hairline doesn't help. you know what I mean? You're looking like Mr. Burns, bro. Take care of it. But it's feeling a little bit like, back in my day, we walked uphill both ways, play for the national team. when you're not really sure of what's happening. But I kind of agree with him in the sense that, yo, Gold Cup is the last competitive competition, knockout tournament, the last time we really have to test ourselves and put ourselves under pressure before the World Cup, which we automatically qualify for. So to not have your best players there, unless you're injured and cannot be there, and I mean like injured, where you can't play, not I have a slight knock, I'd like to take some time off. To some degree, you have to be there. It's building that chemistry with your manager, with the team, head coach, whatever. It's being a good example to the younger players that are going to get that opportunity in Gold Cup, because it's not just going to be your A squad. And it's showing the country that, like, yo, yeah, we're look how serious we're taking this with the World Cup coming up. Not to suggest that they're not taking it serious, but it's showing that in your actions. I kind of tend to agree with him on this.
So there's a lot where a lot of my feelings are, they're a little bit all over the place. I understand both sides here. I think this Gold Cup is an odd one, firstly, because it's happening at the same time as the Club World Cup. So there are players that are playing in the Club World Cup.
Not many,
but there are some. So the importance of the tournament is affected in some way. It's influenced by this other thing that it's distracting at the very least. So Christian Pulisic not playing the Club World Cup, he has no real reason outside of something either personal or injury or whatever to not play.
And mind you, his next season he's only going to play once a week. There's no European competition for AC Milan.
Right. Well, if he stays there, we don't know where he ends up.
As of right now, he's a Milan player, so I'm going to go under the impression. Yeah.
So there must be some level of fatigue that he is worried about, that maybe the federation is worried about as well, that they want to prioritize and make sure that he's playing and available at the World Cup.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though. From the federation, they said that he decided not to be a part of it, not that they told him not to be part of it.
No, correct. Yeah. So they, if they're respecting that, they're not like throwing him under the bus. At least the federation is not.
Right.
And it's different than when Landon Donovan decided to take a sabbatical. And
what are you, Pulisic's dad? Jesus
Christ. But Jurgen Klinsmann was like, no, I'm not happy with it. Like he threw him under the bus. He was like, we don't, you know, didn't get called in for those in that next window or the window after or whatever, when we kind of probably could have used Landon Donovan. But Jurgen Klinsmann was like not forgiving that he took that time off. Mm-hmm. So I get it. Like do I fully agree with Landon? Maybe to some degree. And in the moment when I was watching Cristiano Ronaldo celebrate that, and they also made the point of like, look, these guys are at the end of their seasons. You know that they're exhausted. The game, Portugal, Spain went into extra time and went to penalties and everything. And you know they are mentally and physically drained and they are still there.
And one of the guy we're talking about is 40 something.
He's 40, right? And that, even just hearing that point, I'm like, yeah, I kind of get like, wow, look at the dedication.
And look how much it means. And to some degree, yeah.
I get it. But even if the U.S. wins Gold Cup, we're not going to be saying, look how much it means. Like, it's just not the same thing. I mean, that's
not true. If the camera cuts to Weston McKennie crying, mm-hmm. hugging the trophy, you're going to say.
Yes, maybe, but he's playing in the Club World Cup. So that, it's like.
Good point. Again, I just didn't want to say Pulisic.
No, I understand. It's just, again, the
if the camera cuts to Arsene.
The Gold Cup might.
He's crying.
My issue with the Gold Cup is that it should be every 4 years and not every two.
Who cares?
I know.
That.
It's just, but it makes me care a little, just a tad less because it's every 2 years and it's not.
This is our Euros.
It is, but the Euros are every 4 years, and they hold a little bit more weight. But this region, we kind of probably need a Gold Cup every 2 years because we're competing with all these other sports. There has to be a little bit of like, hey, U.S. soccer's still here, everybody. Let's make sure. So
that the whole nation doesn't shut down when the U.S. plays. They barely even jump to the stadium.
Shout out to Chuck Blazer for inventing Gold Cup.
We never did anything wrong, bro.
Chuck Blazer,
everything was allegedly, bro.
Okay, show me the evidence. Oh, you have evidence.
Oh, you have evidence. Well, it's overwhelming, actually. How long do I have to do? How long is this file download for?
So yeah, that's kind of my
wire.
So I'm affected emotionally by it, where I'm like, I hear Landon's comments and I'm like, oh yeah, maybe he's right about this.
Were they out of line?
Were they out of line? I don't think they're out of line, but this is the
my- on a scale of 0 to 10, on 1 to 10, 10 is way out of line, to one is thank you for speaking truth to power, Landon now, Donovan. Where are you
this
on
is
that?
Like a maybe a 3. This is just not really that.
That means you're closer, right?
No. 10 is out of line, and 1 yeah. is like closer to like.
Yo, thank you for saying that.
Oh, I guess I don't even. This is a strange.
wait. Then you reset it. 1 is you should have never said it. 10 is thank you for saying it.
Then yeah, 3. Yeah, he 1 is like I'm okay with him voicing this.
I'm like 7.
All right, that's fine. It's just something where when I think of like what you put out into the public, into the media, like this is I'm like more generous. I'm like I understand like you're on Fox Sports. You gotta say the crazy thing. You gotta get some clicks and blah
not
blah blah.
During Portugal, Spain, dog. This isn't the
you
time
gotta
for you
crowbar.
To...
You gotta yeah, they yeah, always yeah. crowbar U.S. stuff in there. They have to. But as like this is why Weston McKennie's comments because he reacted to that, and this is where I kind of agree with Weston. As a peer, as like a media person, I understand Landon saying that. As a peer who played for the national team, is an important figure. There's a damn MVP trophy named after you in Major League Soccer. It's a little, for lack of a better word, thing to do.
Is it a little curmudgeon-y?
Yeah, I guess it's curmudgeon-y as a former player to you know the pressure that is put on
those
players.
It's not just former players. Quite possibly the one, greatest, if not yeah. two. The second, if not the first, the second best American so, ever
I get, it's
ever
like,
to play
if,
the game.
If he's not on TV saying this, I think it might mean a little more. It might mean something a little bit different. But this him saying this, I can understand. Weston McKennie was he called it. I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said it's kind of sad that a player, a former player, especially a player like him, would say something like that, and then. Weston McKennie came back with kind of a petty remark about like, you know, people are criticizing us about like losing Nations League and all this stuff, but they lost that previous group like lost and didn't even make it to the World Cup. So he's kind of saying like, well, why are you, you know, but it's kind of a pointless comment because they were heavily criticized for that. So it's not, yeah. They were criticized by active players, former players, so
players from other countries.
So you're going to be held accountable. Yeah. But I understand, it'll ruffle feathers with that current squad that, and especially as a player like Christian Pulisic, which he's kind of talking about, he didn't say his name. And then we should put up.
Yeah, he didn't have Mark Tucker because his dad
his
is
dad,
out of
we
here.
We got more dad drama.
Wow, I don't know what this is like. Dad supporting him, huh?
Yeah. So, all right. So I got the screen cap. So Mark Pulisic, he had. So what he did, he asked ChatGPT or some sort of AI thing. He goes, "Tell me about Landon Donovan's sabbatical and why he took it." So, and then it goes on. The response was, Landon Donovan took his sabbatical because he was feeling both physically and mentally exhausted after years of competition and the pressure that comes with being a top athlete, blah, blah, blah. And like it says, this break allowed him to rest, travel, and ultimately return to the game with a refreshed mindset. He posted, he tagged Landon Donovan, put the little monocle emoji. The caption is where, which we can't see it because that wasn't a screen cap. But it just says, this guy... I can see a little bit of it. It says, this guy is talking about commitment, look in the mirror and grow a pair and call out names. And then it says something else. I don't remember what we read it earlier, but obviously he made his page private. So just real quick, the comments are already like some people kind of agree. Some people agree. Most people are like, this is soft as hell. Like Pulisic is an adult. Like
let him handle this.
Yeah. And this is something where this is not what Landon said. Like I gave it like a 3, like, fine, he said it.
Yeah.
This isn't even really worthy of a response, especially not from your dad. Like, there's no way Christian Pulisic is like, yo, dad, I don't need you right now.
Bro, you're first of all, you're a full adult playing in Europe. don't nobody want to hear from your pops, bro. I don't know what Mr. Brian Donovan looks like. I don't know what James Dempsey looks like. I don't know if that's their name. I don't know what none of these people look like or what their thoughts were when they played the national team. Bro, doing this is taking the focus away from your son, really, is what's happening. It's putting the focus on yourself. Yo, Mark Pulisic should not be commenting on the internet about stuff Landon Donovan is saying.
Yeah, I mean,
if he's talking about your son, you think he's talking about your son? Let your son do the talking.
Sure. It's kind of pointless, and it's fodder for the cooligans.
Yeah, hey, it's great for us, dude.
So we're not mad about
it. I'm happy to have it.
But it's just such a non-fight. It's such a non-argument that even as Landon is saying it, even Weston McKennie just being like at least addressing it, because journalists are going to ask. I get that. But it's
Weston McKennie standing on business. But can I just say, this kind of goes to prove that Christian Pulisic maybe ain't the captain. Like, and it's not to say he's not a good captain. It's just that if he doesn't want to be that vocal leader, maybe he shouldn't be the captain. You know what I mean? Maybe it should be somebody else who can sort of not stand up for themselves, but willing to put themselves out there in the media and say what they want to say to defend themselves.
He's not a vocal leader.
No, and that's fine. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Dude, in fact, if it makes you a better player to not feel the need to be the vocal leader, then please don't feel the need to be the vocal leader.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'd rather you be a better player, more comfortable.
And your dad doesn't need to be the vocal leader either.
Your pop probably don't need to get involved.
Yeah, it's just the argument now is...
And I love a dad that wants to defend their son. Again, grew up without that. You know what I mean?
But so you love that as the fantasy world that you would have loved to grow up.
Maybe somewhere my dad's tweeting at my ops, you know? Somewhere in there. But I get it. I respect it. I get the need to want to do it. It just maybe the result is not exactly what you planned.
Yeah, it's bad. There's no positive to take from it. There's no the Federation's not happy.
That's not true, yo. We got a boomer using ChatGPT. It's pretty good. Pretty good.
All right.
My mom's still confused with FaceTime.
Mark Pulisic, prompt engineer. Yo,
for real, my guy.
Okay, it's going to be a new job. Everybody start learning.
Yeah. Yo, when AI takes over, it's about controlling AI.
There's going to be just, all we're going to have is AI and no clean water.
Yeah. Right? Hey, nothing wrong with that. AI, where do I find clean water? It all works. Okay. Let's have Mark. We'll guide us to the prompt of the clean water.
All right. Let's take another quick break.
Wouldn't it be funny if it's where Landon Donovan took the sabbatical? That'd be wild. If that's where the clean water is.
Okay.
What? It all came full circle.
Look at that. That's a nice little callback. All right. Well, we're going to talk. We're going to wrap up our Champions League perspective for some of the other clubs that are back in the Champions League for the first time or for the first time in a while. All right. We'll be right back after this.
All right, welcome back to the show. We talked a little bit about the perspectives for some of the stalwarts of the Champions League, some of the bigger clubs in it. But then there's a couple of clubs that haven't been here in a while or are just coming in here for the first time that have qualified for the Champions League next season. Let's talk about our perspectives for them. First up, Tottenham. I'm going to say not supposed to be here, bro. Mm. You don't even go to this school. How'd you get into the dance? You know what I mean?
Sure.
Hey, I'm all for it. If you win a trophy, you deserve, and it qualifies you for the tournament, you deserve it. But there's so many unanswered questions with this team. No one, especially with Ange Postecoglou now officially sacked, no one knows how this team is going to show up. The rumor is the players are upset. Thomas Frank is supposedly lined up, and everyone seems to be talking about it pretty openly. So who knows what Tottenham is going to do? It could be dramatically better or dramatically worse.
Yeah, this is, for me, unserious. And I wouldn't have said unserious. That wouldn't be my perspective looking forward. If they kept Ange Postecoglou, this is the reaction, even... Carter, when the news dropped, big Tottenham fan, obviously, but when he had mentioned, when he texted, he said, what did you say? He said, a joke of a club or something like that?
Yeah, and he said, what am I going to do with my lower back Ange tattoo?
That's right.
Why did he get one? Yeah, it's his whole face.
No, no. He also got no regrets. Yeah, from.
No regrets. Let's go to Newcastle. What do you got?
For Newcastle, lucky. Ooh. Lucky to be there. And yes, the final game of the season.
They
lost to Everton, which just were risky. Risky to be in that situation. And luckily, you know, what was it? Emi Martinez.
Yeah, Aston Villa.
Aston Villa got that red. Yeah. Emi Martinez, apparently big Newcastle fan. I don't know what's going on there. But they should have gotten into the tournament a little bit more convincingly. I think they'll do well. They did well. They did decent the first time they were there in a lot. Not this past season.
Previous season.
Right. Yeah. No, did they make it last season? Oh, no, they didn't make it last season.
They were the last group stage.
Yes.
Year.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, so lucky. Yeah. I think they're just lucky to be there.
I'm going with house money. Simply because they had, for the all intents and purposes, it didn't look like they were going to end up in Champions League. But ending up in Champions League kind of allowed them to potentially keep Isak. Who knows how this plays out? Maybe somebody does come out and spend the money for Isak. But for the most part, it seems like securing a Champions League spot has helped them not only keep their best players, but maybe even go out and sign some other bigger players. Eddie Howe potentially keeps his job. Things seem to be kind of settling a little bit for them. So for them, this is house money. If they can do well in this league phase, if they can get to themselves in the 23rd or above spot, I think already this is looking better than most people thought the next season would have looked. So for me, house money. After that, Napoli.
Napoli, my questions here are, can they handle the pressure? Mm. Can they handle playing European competition, continuing that level they were playing at in Serie A, and obviously winning the Scudetto? This is what the roster is going to look like. The rumors about Kevin De Bruyne, all this other stuff. Is it going to be, even if with Kevin De Bruyne, is that going to make kind of a difference in their Champions League campaign? So it's like I won't know until we probably see the first like 2-3 games of Champions League. But that's my first question. Can they handle that level of pressure and responsibility and load management for all those games?
Damn, load management. easy. I think for me, I'm going to say next level. Simply because the Kevin De Bruyne signing seems imminent.
Yeah.
If Antonio Conte could get Scott McTominay to be a superstar in Serie A, which I believe that at one point he was the best player on Manchester United, the way they were playing. So it's not to suggest that he isn't and somehow he got greater.
You're the only person that believed that.
He was the best. He was certainly the most informed.
Yeah.
Look at the star he's turned into. What do you think Antonio Conte is going to do with a Kevin De Bruyne, quite possibly the best midfielder to ever play in Premier League? You can argue amongst yourselves. Certainly, arguably one of. Mm-hmm. So for me, this is a wonder signing. To me, next level. Antonio Conte in a Champions League, in a league phase format, is going to be something to behold. This team can be so dangerous. I'm excited to see what they can do being at this level. And now, after winning the Scudetto, who else they sign?
Sure. All right. Next up, Athletic Club Bilbao.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm saying knockout ready. Bro,
Are they going to get knocked out?
No, that they are knockout ready. Can they keep Nico Williams? If they do, the way they play, the style they play, the seemingly what has become the new Spain way to play, the post-Tiki-Taka era, feels a little bit more like Athletic Club Bilbao, the way they play. For me, they seem knockout ready. They seem like the team that can play in a knockout tournament. They need to get there first. So I'm a little worried about the league phase. But if the home games are going to be fun, the San Mamés is crazy. Mm-hmm. And then if they can get themselves into the knockout portion of the tournament, they can be really, really dangerous.
I said it's a good Europa team, a bad Champions League team. I don't think they're getting out of the league phase. Especially Nico Williams is like the focal point. And if they lose him, I don't know who they're going to. Who they're gonna bring in to help them?
You got another one of them?
another Williams?
Yeah.
I don't expect too much from them in their Champions League campaign, but we shall see. But I think if they were in Europa again, I would be like, they would probably be the favorites.
Yeah, I can see that. I can totally see that. Eintracht Frankfurt, I'm gonna go with Cha-Ching, buddy. You out here, you're gonna make a good amount of money, Eintracht Frankfurt.
business move.
But you got 8 matches. You feel me? Okay. Yeah, Ekitike's gone, right? Omar Mamouche was already left the previous season. It feels like they're going to be picked apart. Hugo Larson's probably next. Did he leave, actually?
No, he didn't.
No, he's still there. Yeah. He seems, the rumors are going that he's next, so I feel like this team's going to be picked apart a little bit. So this is going to be one of those, like, hey, feel good if you could win three of those matches, maybe get yourself into a knockoff play, like a playoff spot. But for the most part, I feel like, good for you. You got 8 matches of revenue. Cha-ching.
So we had the, who was it? He was the...
The CEO
of Eintracht Frankfurt.
The Frankies.
Axel Hellman. He was on the show a couple of months ago. So I'm sure he'd be happy with you saying that. I don't know. He's also a big fan of the team.
So yeah, he's...
For me, this is, I'm more focused on one particular player, Hugo Larsson, who has a friend of the show.
Also been on the show.
Here a couple months ago, joked about you being fat. You made a lot of fat jokes.
He really went in on the fat jokes.
But we love Hugo Larsson here.
Yeah.
And
I cried a little bit after, but that's fine.
I think it's going to be, it's a Hugo Larsson spotlight. It's his first time playing in Champions League. He played in Champions League qualifiers for Malmo, his previous club. But he has stepped up in a different way. He's obviously, like more a holding midfielder, has a couple goal contributions on his resume. But he is a calming presence, a calming force in that midfield for Eintracht Frankfurt.
So that's someone so young.
Yeah, 20 years old and already a lot of responsibility. He's already... talking about possibly leaving, but he's a player that Real Madrid are looking at him as a potential signing. So not exactly a perspective on the whole club, but I think Hugo Larsson, if he steps up, they can have a good Champions League campaign. But yeah, there are a lot of... Eintracht Frankfurt don't always have the highest of expectations given,
right?
Kind of for almost any Bundesliga club, and
they're a team that gets picked apart.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
in the transfer,
but we're obviously Frankfurt fans here. We hope they do well. Next up, Marseille.
I'm gonna go with De Zerbi retribution. Mm. You know, De Zerbi didn't have the greatest international results when he was over at Brighton, got them there, obviously. But for me, this is gonna be a big one. Marseille are a club that, you know, if you go back in time, not that far, they were one of the biggest clubs in the world, and they seemingly have sort of fallen out of grace a little bit. Can they get back to that? I'm not a huge fan of every player that's on their squad, so I'm not necessarily excited to see them succeed with every player that's on their squad. But I do want De Zerbi to kind of get some of his just due, like, praise for the way he left the Premier League, and seemingly people think he took a step down. I think for him to get Marseille back to where they belong, that the Marseille that Timothy Chalamet, you know, talked about.
Sure.
For me, that will be good for him, because I think he's a great manager and potentially should maybe even be the manager of Spain, of Italy.
Let's get Timothy on the line. Timothy, what do you think? Oh, imagine we had that.
Imagine. Chalamet, my guy.
Those Knicks. Tough, huh?
We are only two people removed from him. Alex Mule could get him.
Oh, that's right.
So...
But yeah, we got to get to know Alex Mule.
We can't get Saka Timmy on the phone, bro.
So, for me, my thought here, Controversy FC.
Yeah.
Because obviously, with the signing of Mason Greenwood.
Yeah, and man, that's what I'm talking about.
Even his success, it's been a strange thing. And being on the Champions League stage is only going to put more of a spotlight on that. And obviously, Mason Greenwood, who is like basically persona non grata for most human beings and most people who follow the sport, there's a active campaign seemingly in the comments to ignore what he was accused of and what we all heard and what we all saw.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to get past.
Right.
And
they love to bring up that him and that lady are still together and they've had a kid. Sure.
Sure.
You can forgive and you can forget, but it doesn't mean everybody has.
Exactly.
To.
And it's we were all still disgusted. And
yeah.
You could say like people make mistakes, and I'm like, all right, well, not kind of this. It's hard for all of us to get past it. So
you're not going to get 100% of people in that group.
So there's going to be, I don't know, who knows what the league phase is going to look like. Who do they face? Not Manchester United, obviously. But just imagine the booze, every time he touches the ball, like what cities and what countries he's going to play in. These are all going to be a factor in how Marseille does and how they play. And yeah, all of it, you know, the things that don't feel great about that whole story is like, it was horrific and disgusting.
So bad.
All this. And then, but then it's like, why is Fabrizio posting about like he scored a goal and blah, blah. I'm like, why are you, right. What is this for? Who is this for?
Bro, at least email us for some of that money. We're not going to take it. I just want to know what kind of funds we're talking about.
I just need to know. We got an idea.
Yeah.
So that part, so that's the part of them being in Champions League that it's going to not be fun to witness. So, all right, last team, Ajax.
So, hey, where you been, bro?
Okay.
Where you been, dog? You was just here last week, man. I haven't seen you in a minute. Obviously, they had a horrific season 2 seasons ago. Mm-hmm. And it's seemingly getting the ship back on track, if you will.
Nearly relegated.
Nearly relegated. It was really uncomfortable to see. Ajax, I think, when I think of Ajax, I think of some of the greats that have been there. You know, the Johan Cruyffs and whatnot. So, for me, I want to see an Ajax take place. I also love when a league that's not considered one of the biggest leagues has teams that can compete at a higher level. And I think PSV did that for quite a bit during the last Champions League. So can Ajax get back to that previous glory? Can they get back to that Ajax way, the Ajax that we know and love? Hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of some greats, Andre Onana. Former Ajax goalkeeper.
That's what I was talking about. Anthony.
You forgot. The great. You missed out. Johan Cruyff, and you did not. You, in the same breath, you should obviously.
Yeah. Royal Betis fans are like, I don't get what the joke is about Anthony. He's one of the greats.
Kind of similar. The Champions League isn't the same without Ajax.
Yeah.
Losing in the round of 16.
Sure.
But they always.
It may not be great.
But they provide great moments. And, you know, it's hard for them to compete with the money in some of these other leagues. Yeah. But Ajax is, there's always like legendary moments, especially those. Ajax is a team that has great Champions League moments. And then Premier League clubs like Hakim Ziyech. Come to a real club.
I want four of your players.
And they just kind of pick them apart. So it sounds
weird for people in the Netherlands to hear this because they're like, this is one of the biggest clubs in the world. What are you talking
historically,
about?
Historically, of course.
They beat up on our team, blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, this is a team where it's like, it doesn't feel scrappy because they have their own style and their own way. Mm-hmm. But it kind of feels like when they win, you're like, nah, I could kind of root for them.
So it's nice to have them back in Champions League. All right. Let's wrap it up there, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in.
Great advice. Wrap it up, folks.
Wrap it up. Or don't wrap it up if you want to drop your kid off at the
daycare. Yeah, I was going to say, four in 2 years. You and your lady going to be crying, staring through the windows. Your kid plays with blocks.
You have options. If you want to have just an emotional, sensitive moment dropping off your kid at daycare, don't wrap it up, you know? So there's choose your own adventure a little
bit. We all choose our own adventures every day.
Okay. And it is quite the adventure. Thank you again for tuning in, everybody. We appreciate it. Shout out to everybody. I just want to say shout out to everybody in Los Angeles protesting. You see me wearing the Los Angeles Abolish ICE shirt.
I'd also be wearing it if it still fit me.
I forgot who sent this to us a couple years ago. I don't remember who it was.
Definitely, obviously, one of the LAFC fans.
Yeah. But it's...
Shouts to you, whoever it was.
Horrible. And I'll see all this stuff is going on. And we don't need ICE. I mean, let's just keep it real, bro. It's horrific.
I'm cool with a warm drink.
Okay. This is like Alexis talking about before they invented freezers. Warm drinks are fine.
Room
you know what, how they used to keep stuff cool before freezers and before refrigerators? They used to put have like basements, and they used to ship ice from the north or whatever. Yeah. They used to ship ice, keep it in their basements. And use sawdust. If you cover ice in sawdust, it keeps the ice cool for a very, very long time. And that's how they used to cool their homes.
Yeah. It's interesting.
It's mildly interesting. All right. It's an interesting fact.
All right. So you know what? Wrap it up, or you'll have a kid who does that at the end of a podcast.
So we're going to say abolish immigration, customs enforcement. I mean, you still need. I mean, you could even if you you could find ways to keep your home cool or get cold drinks.
You know
still
what? Let's take the budget we spent on ice and use it for sawdust.
Sadly, the ice caps are melting. We're not going to be much ice available.
They actually grew a little bit.
They grew. Yeah. Ice grows.
Yeah. Well, more ice has been added to Antarctica.
Lovely.
Like something like 13%. It's working, folks.
Okay.
Stop using whatever your aerosol.
All right.
Where are we going with the end of this episode? Look, guys, subscribe. Do all the things. Hit the like button. Look to your left and tell them you love them. Do all the things you're supposed to do.
What, you're in church? shake hands. Make peace.
I feel bad for the person in your cubicle to your left going, I didn't know you thought about me that way, Stacy.
We appreciate y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back on Thursday with a brand new episode. So, yeah, hit subscribe. Hit the like button if you haven't yet. And we'll see you on Thursday. Take care, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.